Welcome to Selections from Virtual Antietam, recorded live and unscripted right on the battlefield, and brought to you by virtualantietam.com, where you can find maps and full-screen panoramas to accompany these tours. I'm your host, Stephen Recker. Please join us as we explore scenes from the Maryland campaign of 1862. I'm standing here in front of Harrison Hall in Leesburg, Virginia, the day of September 4th, 1862. This is where Robert E. Lee will stop, his last stop actually, before he crosses the Potomac and enters Maryland for the Maryland campaign of 1862. And he'll arrive from Drainesville. If you look to your left down the street, about two blocks is the City Hall and the town square of Leesburg. And if you were to turn left on Market Street, about 15 miles to the east is Drainesville. It's where Lee camped the day before. And on the trip from Drainesville to Leesburg, Robert E. Lee would finally decide that he was going to enter Maryland. But he had one critical decision to make. He had to decide which fort he was going to cross to enter Maryland. Now, he's got two main choices. He could either head directly north, and that's on the road to our right. If you head straight up that road, a few miles up are the fords crossing the Potomac, and on the other side is Maryland. Or he could head due west out of Leesburg and cross the Potomac west of Harper's Ferry, somewhere in western Maryland. There's advantages and disadvantages of each of these scenarios. The one advantage of Robert E. Lee crossing at this ford is that he would be very close to Washington, D.C. Now, he didn't want to attack Washington, D.C., but he did want to threaten the town to get the very disorganized and demoralized Union Army out into the field quickly before they had a chance to get back together as a cohesive fighting force. You have to remember that just a few days earlier, Robert E. Lee defeated the Army of Virginia under John Pope at the Battle of Second Manassas, just a few miles south of here. And that army retreated into Washington, D.C., folded into the Army of the Potomac, and his hope would be that the Union Army would have to be thrown out after him before they're really ready for the fight. Now, the disadvantage is that if Robert E. Lee headed north, his line of supply and communication would run right in front of Washington, D.C., and could be easily harassed by the Union cavalry. Now, if he were to move across the Potomac west of Harper's Ferry, he would have the advantage that his line of communication would be very secure. He could move it down through the Shenandoah Valley, and it would be very far away from Washington, D.C. But the problem with that is that it would take some time to do that. And by the time he entered western Maryland, the Union Army in Washington, D.C. would have time to organize. And so he would fight a foe that was much more prepared for battle. So that was a decision he had to make here on September 4th. Henry Harrison's three daughters, Maria, Daisy, and Alice, are hanging out the windows on the second floor as they see Robert E. Lee ride up. But he's not riding up on Traveler, as you might suspect. A few days earlier, right after the Battle of Second Manassas, Robert E. Lee suffered an accident. He was holding on to Traveler's reins as Traveler shied. And Lee was wearing a very cumbersome poncho. It was raining. And as he tried to grab Traveler's reins, he stumbled and fell and caught himself with his hands, and he broke his right hand and sprained his left. So he ended up coming into Leesburg in an ambulance. Well, he decided to move into the Harrison Hall. And the first thing that the Harrisons did was they called their neighbor, Samuel Jackson. And this is the house next door, just to our right. Samuel Jackson is a doctor. He comes over and he wraps up Robert E. Lee's hands. He replaces his bandages and tries to make Lee as comfortable as possible. Well, the night of September 4th, Robert E. Lee makes his decision. And the morning of September 5th, here in Harrison Hall, he calls a council of war. And he calls his main two lieutenants, Stonewall Jackson and James Longstreet. And also with them comes Jeb Stuart, the head of cavalry. And the orders are that they're heading out into Maryland, and they're going to be heading north. Stonewall Jackson will be in the van. He will leave Leesburg. He's got camps north of Leesburg. He'll leave that afternoon. And he'd be heading across the Potomac at a place called White's Ford. And he was to go straight north up to Frederick. Jeb Stuart was to follow him across at the same ford and interpose himself between Stonewall Jackson's command and Washington, D.C., to cover Stonewall Jackson's movement and to get intelligence about the movement of the Union Army. James Longstreet is to move into the camps that Stonewall Jackson will abandon in order to cross the Potomac, and James Longstreet will wait there until the next day when he will cross the Potomac on the 6th. So the meeting ends, and Robert E. Lee calls a small prayer meeting, and after that, Stonewall Jackson is sent north to cross the Potomac River at a place called White's Ford, a few miles north of here, and that's our next stop. We hope you've enjoyed this selection from Virtual Antietam, and we'd like to invite you to visit virtualantietam.com, where you can book a guided battlefield tour or find out about the Virtual Antietam CD-ROM that is scheduled for release later this year. The Virtual Gettysburg CD-ROM is available today at virtualgettysburg.com, where you can also download free lesson plans. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-800-417-9596. My name is Stephen Recker. I'll see you on the battlefield.